But as promised, we are joined right now by an NBA national writer for the Washington Post. He is co-host of the Greatest of All Talks podcast. Also the author of Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Of course, I'm talking about Ben Golliver. Ben, it is so good to have you back on the show. What's good, Ben? How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Jim. Just here in Sacramento getting ready for this play-in game between the Kings and the Warriors. You know, Warriors season on the line, and the Lakers are playing tonight, too. So it's my favorite time of the year. How are you?
Good, good, Ben. I'm actually awesome. I was going to start in those very two areas. But since you're in Northern California, why don't we start right there? It is win or go home between the Kings and Warriors. Golden State took out Sactown, of course, in seven last year. They split the seasonal series this year. Who do you like in this one? What do you think it comes down to?
Well, first of all, I like the fans and the viewers because you got a great rivalry between these two Northern California teams. It's big brother, it's little brother, and don't forget, Steph Curry sent the Kings home last year in Game 7 with 50 points in their building, in their house where they were trying to light the beam. He went absolutely nuclear, and they haven't forgotten that. So I think that's going to give the Warriors some confidence. Clearly, they're playing better basketball here over the last month. And the Kings have had some injury issues that have really thinned out their roster. I would caution people against just automatically picking the Golden State Warriors. I think Sacramento, they know what they want to do. They've been getting great play all season long from De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. Of course, Fox was electric in that first round series last year, but he got injured and banged up a little bit and wasn't quite the same down the stretch of that series. So maybe if he comes out and has a big game, he's the best player on the court, they've got a shot. If I had to pick, though, I'm taking the Warriors. They've done a very nice job of countering Domantas Sabonis in the past. They've got some bigs who give him trouble and keep him away from the rim. And of course, there's the Steph Curry factor. This guy wants to be back in the playoffs. It's been a very up-and-down season, challenging season for the Warriors with Draymond suspension and all the other roster changes. You know, certain guys getting benched, you know, other guys getting promoted to the starting lineup. And I think in this format, you know, Steph Curry is going to pull these guys through.
You and I are on the same page on that one, Ben. Ben Golliver joining us. So, Ben, what about the other matchup, the 7-8 game? You've got Lakers and the Pelicans. L.A. pounded them Sunday. How do you see tonight's game? And, Ben, do you buy any part of that argument that the loser actually benefits by avoiding Denver in the first round?
Well, I wouldn't want to play Denver ever, so I understand where that argument's coming from. But I don't think you want to drop a game where, you know, it is double elimination for these teams, right? So if they lose this game, they get another shot on Friday. But especially from the Pelican side, they can't be worried about Denver. They need to be looking in the mirror, Jim. You know, I don't know if you've seen these two big high-profile games they've had against the Lakers. One was in the in-season tournament where they completely rolled over in Vegas, just embarrassed themselves on national TV. And then on Sunday, they have a chance to avoid all this play-in stuff. They could have claimed the 6 seed if they had won on Sunday. And guess what? They fell on their face again against the Lakers. So to me, this is a gut check moment for the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, you know, if you can't win tonight at home against this Lakers team that's punked you twice, you don't really deserve to be in the playoffs, right? That has to be their mentality. If I'm Willie Green, that's what I'm telling the team. It starts with Zion Williamson. You know, he's a guy, he's kind of a one-pitch pitcher, Jim. Like, he wants to go right at the rim over and over again, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis have done a nice job defensively of taking that away from him. So he's got to figure out some other ways to score. His teammates have got to figure out ways to support him better. But on the Lakers side, they've got all the momentum late season. LeBron really cranked it up on Sunday, moving the ball all over the place masterfully. Now, much like Steph Curry, you hate to bet against him in sort of a Game 7 type setting. And that's what this game's going to feel like tonight. So I think the Lakers are going to do it again to the Pelicans. And then the Pelicans are going to have some real questions about, do they even want to be in the playoffs? Can they pick themselves up off the ground?
Ben Golliver joining us. All right, Ben. Alvy, what was that? All right, Ben. So never mind the ding, Ben. So in terms of questions about do you even want to be there, how about just questions about the Milwaukee Bucks overall? Now we come to find out that Giannis is not going to be ready for the start of the series against the Pacers. Ben, you probably would even argue and agree with me that they already had major issues going up against Indiana. You said something recently about Damian Lillard. You said that he had a strong case as the league's most underwhelming star this year. It is a strong statement. What makes you say so?
Oh, he's the most disappointing player in the league, Jim. I'll say it's stronger for you. You know, sometimes I tone it down for the newspaper, but I think he's been the biggest disappointment in the NBA, period. I don't see any other way around it. Think back to when they made that trade. We all thought the Milwaukee Bucks were going to cruise 55 wins, maybe 60 wins. it was going to be Milwaukee and Boston in the Eastern Conference, right? Well, look at the standings. It's Boston and nobody else in the Eastern Conference because the Bucks just have not taken care of their business. You look at the interpersonal chemistry between Giannis and Dame when those guys are on the court together, it kind of feels like a corporate merger, right? Where they're like two separate companies who are trying to come together, but they haven't really figured it out yet. It's not really working. That's really been the vibe on offense. It's sort of my turn, your turn. They don't necessarily make each other worse, but they're definitely not making each other better. And then because they traded for Lillard, they really need him to play his best basketball because, you know, they lose a Grayson Allen in that trade, right? They lose some of their depth. They're plugging in these other pieces that really aren't that great defensively. They just don't have enough, in my opinion, to get by without Giannis. So they got to do whatever they can possibly do to get that calf right and get him back in the series. And he is by far their biggest matchup advantage against Indiana because they're a little bit soft inside. Giannis averages 40-plus points against the Pacers this year because he's just going right at the rim, and Miles Turner and those guys can't stop him. That's the way to beat the Pacers is to take advantage of their poor defense. If this becomes a shootout where it's like Tyrese Halliburton versus Damian Lillard, that will favor the Pacers because they've had this incredible offense all season long. And because they face no pressure whatsoever, you can just kind of feel the roof caving in on Milwaukee if they're going to drop one of those early games in that series. And they just haven't had the chemistry right. Doc Rivers has not been able to turn it around after the midseason coaching change that Milwaukee made. It could get dark very, very early. And I just hope for everybody's sake, Giannis can get back on the court because, you know, he's been the only truly reliable thing about the Bucks this year. And they're going nowhere without him.
Ben Golliver breaking it down. Ben, what about the Celtics? They are the top seed, and they're going to wait to find out who their first-round opponent is. Obviously, they cruised right through the regular season. We'll find out, but if you had to guess, do you think that they have solved their late-game issues that have killed them in the past two postseasons?
Well, Jim, you know, a good way to avoid those kinds of late-game problems, just blow everybody out so you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
You know? And I think that's really what's been under-discussed about the Celtics this year. They have been a machine to the point where those late game situations, they still come back to bite them every once in a while, but a whole lot of the time, it just doesn't even matter because they win by 10, 15, 20 points. I think they've actually been underrated this season because they've been boring, because they've been killing everyone so consistently, which you don't see very often in the NBA. They haven't gotten enough credit, I don't think, because of how just consistent they are night to night. The bracket in the playoffs just broke perfectly for them. Now, what they want to have happen is Philadelphia to beat Miami, in my opinion, in the play-in. That way, Philadelphia goes to the other side of the bracket with Milwaukee, with New York, the teams that I would view kind of as their biggest threats. Now, I know some Celtics fans are still scarred by the Miami Heat, you know, beating them in last year's Eastern Conference Finals. I think these Celtics are a lot better, and I think these Heat are worse than they were last year. So if I'm Boston, I would not fear that rematch in the first round. In fact, I would take Boston in five games in that series. And from there, they have a very favorable path because it would be probably Cleveland or Orlando in the second round. I think if you're a Celtics fan, now is the time to be tooting your own horn. Like, forget about the late game choke issues that have, cost you, big time series like the finals and the Eastern Conference Finals. You've got Porzingis to help. You've got Drew Holiday to help on defense, and you have by far the best chemistry and the best health of any team in that Eastern Conference bracket. You know, Milwaukee's banged up, New York's banged up, Cleveland's been banged up. You know, Miami's kind of had guys in and out. Joel Embiid's just rushing back from this knee surgery. Like, Boston's just sitting pretty. All their main guys are healthy, ready to roll. I would much rather be the Celtics than anybody else in the East.
Ben Golliver joining us. Ben, I got about a minute. Really quickly, what about the Thunder? I mean, they are the number one seed in the West. They're very, very talented, but they're very, very young. They don't have that playoff experience. Do you think that's an issue? How concerned are you that they have not been there before?
I'm not all that concerned because, the tricky part is if they get the Lakers, because the Lakers have given them problems this year. So, like, if L.A. were to lose tonight and then win on Friday, L.A.'s size up front has kind of given the undersized Thunder a little bit of challenges. But I think they're going to beat anybody else that comes out of that play-in tournament because they're way more cohesive, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a star who can score from anywhere and get to the free throw line. They've got Jalen Williams to help close games. They've got Chet Holmgren, to me, who I think is the number two rookie of the year guy, but also should have been on some people's defensive player of the year ballots for how well he holds down their backline defense. And it's just one of these teams where five fingers makes the fist, you know, and those teams always get overlooked. Maybe they don't have the big flashy stars. They don't have a name like a Steph Curry or a LeBron James, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been incredible all year long. His teammates love him. They rally around him. They're very well coached. They're disciplined on offense and defense. They're the number one seed for a reason. And I think the only one of those play-in teams that could give them a push would be the Lakers because of the size factor. Otherwise, they're going to take care of Sacramento. They're going to take care of New Orleans. They take care of Golden State.
My man Ben, peaking at the right time. He is an NBA national writer for the Washington Post, also the author of Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Ben, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for getting us ready. Always good to have you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Jim. Take care, man.
Ben Golliver. He is so good.